apologize for my voice today. I had to give a 4-hour lecture yesterday in a big room without a microphone, and I obviously overdid it. So.
So
once again, we're looking at Lama Tsongkhapa's great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment. And we're looking specifically at the section on training the mind in the stages of the path shared in common with beings of medium capacity. So when we look at that actual section, we can break that down into 4 actual categories. We break it down into the mental training, and then the second category, a measure of the determination to be free, or the measure of one's renunciation. A third category, which is dispelling misconceptions about that. And then the fourth category, which is called ascertaining the nature of the path leading to liberation. So if we start at that first category, which is called the mental training, we have 2 categories. We have first this identification of the mind that's intent on liberation, so identifying what renunciation is, and then a second category of what is the method or the means by which you actually develop renunciation, or how the determination to be free actually arises or can be generated. So when we get to the section which is called the method or the means to the achievement of renunciation, we break that down actually into 2 categories. The first category is reflecting on suffering in terms of its origin. And then the second category is reflection on suffering from the viewpoint of the 12 links of dependent origination. When we look at the first category that was just mentioned there, reflection on suffering and its origin, Lama Tsongkhapa in the outline has 2 categories. He says there's reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, and then the second category, reflection of the process of cyclic existence in terms of its origin. So beginning with reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, there are 2 categories. There's a first category, which is showing the significance of the Buddha's asserting the truth of suffering as the first of the 4 Noble Truths, and then the second category, which is an actual meditation on suffering. So, and when we get to that actual meditation on suffering, that's when we get into the different categories of the individual sufferings and the general sufferings, sufferings of 3, sufferings of 6, the 3 types of suffering, 6 types of suffering, 8 types of suffering, and so forth. So once we get through that section and the points that relate to all the varying types of suffering, we then get to reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of its origin. Once we get to that topic, reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin, we then find 3 major categories, and that kind of brings us up to where we are in the outline. The first category is the identification how the afflictions arise, and the second category is how you thereby accumulate karma, and then the third category is how you then die and are reborn. So those are the categories that we'll be going through. The major heading, reflection of the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin, and then the 3 categories that pertain to that, which are how the afflictions arise, how you thereby then accumulate karma, and then how you die and are reborn. So that's where we are. Once we really get started into the text, I'll let everybody know the page in English.
Good, so.
When we get to the categories, the individual categories relating on to that major topic, reflection of the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin, we begin with how the afflictions arise. So within that, there are four categories. First, identification of the afflictions. Second, the order in which the afflictions arise. Third category, which is the causes of the afflictions. And then the fourth category is the faults of those afflictions. So we've gone through all of that. So then we arrive at that second category in this section is that how you thereby accumulate karma. So when we divide that, we divide it into two categories, identifying karma that you accumulate, and then how you accumulate karma. So when we look at identifying karma that you accumulate, we have karma that is intention and then karma that is an intended action. And then when we look at how you accumulate karma, we have accumulating karma for pleasant feelings and accumulating karma for neutral feelings. So we'll go through that section beginning with the major heading of how you thereby accumulate karma.
Tells why.
That's on page 303 on the English, in English. So now we'll look at the Lam Rim Chemo.
What Naja Sonju Sudu, the Bajan and Naja Sonju Sudu, only as if it changes on to do change your battle to her. Nipa, less of the Chilani,
okay.
The way,
that's
the Yishan Katana.
So again, page 303 in the English text.
Nipa, less of the Chilani, Sabar Shay, Lung was one down, touch it up with Chini laws, Tumble like Jin Sabar Shay, Ledla. And then Sambil and Sambil in his horse, and then Sabasha Lemons want to look at Sabre. Sambil and Sambil in his Lila Inna, Sambil and Sambil in you, or the Smarva.
That's so.
Sambil in his horse, Tumble and then Sambil and Sambil is horse, Lenny J. That Tumble and then Sambil the Kandesha Gurus and a Kundu Les. Good deal is Samba Gansiana and a Saint Noban Dushi be easy late. Go out on Magoadan, Lomatin, Nala, Saint Juba she be legend on, she is some better, Ranton Somba Denby, Saint Yula, Yushin Kua she be Saint Jun Niso Osa. Saint Jun. Sanjung Yiji Les was what the embare? What the battle Kazurata?
That's it. Logua.
What about the Bajilusana?
Okay, so we begin with how you thereby accumulate karma. So then we're two categories, identifying the karma that you accumulate, and then second, how you accumulate karma. So the first category, identifying the karma that you accumulate, is divided into two categories, karma that is intention and karma that is intended action. So if we say how many divisions of karma that you accumulate are there, we would say there are two, karma that is intention and karma that is intended action. So we begin with karma that is intention. And it says, we have a quote from Sangha's Compendium of Knowledge, and it says, what is intention? It is mental karma that involves the mind. It acts to engage the mind in virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral activities. Thus, intention is mental karma, a mental process that moves and urges the mind with which it is associated towards objects.
Okay.
So if we look at how we actually are dividing these two, karma that is intention and karma that is intended action, karma that is intention is necessarily mental karma, and karma that is intended action is necessarily a karma of the body or a karma of the speech. So when we look at how we accumulate karma, when we accumulate karma is intention or a karma of the mind, we can accumulate karma that is virtuous, non-virtuous, or ethically neutral. So if we're thinking non-virtuously, then we're creating non-virtuous mental karma. If we're thinking virtuously, we're creating virtuous mental karma. If we're thinking ethically neutrally, then we're creating ethically neutral karma. So, and the same is also for the body and the speech. When we're looking at intended action, we have those three different types. We have actions of our body and speech that are virtuous actions, those that are non-virtuous actions, and then those that are ethically neutral actions. So, when we look at our actions of our body, speech, and mind, we have those three categories of action: virtuous action, non-virtuous action, and ethically neutral action. In the Buddhist tradition, we say that all the compounds, the things that come together, so, or if we are asked where do the environments that we abide in, where do these things that we see around us, these objects of observation, so these phenomena, where do they come from? In Buddhism, we would say that they come from karma. They come from karma that's created through the body, speech, and mind. Whereas in other religious traditions, the Christian tradition, Hindu tradition, we have an external creator, God, we would say is the creator of all of these compounds and all of these phenomenons. But Buddhism states that it's clearly karma that's created, that creates these phenomena.
What is the mind was?
So there is a difference there in view between
what that sembile tambo sembile ne kulutule semba kanshina kulutule semba kanshina kulutule phoba phaba thume ga marba phoba phaba thume ga tane sad ga dona ni ne dona ni dowa kutuje de marba phoba thume ga sa kulutule ne wad lege na ne jutu son ja selwa ne kundu les semba kanshina ওতে সেম্প কংশে না ওতে সেঙ্গব দোশে বা ইজি লেতে গোয়া দম গোয়া লোমা তেল জুবে সেবি লেছে নোস তা গাছ ওতে সেম্বাস না তো মারবে তা গাছ সেবাল মেঘে নবা সেবা না ই নবা সেবা না ই নবা সেবা চি নবা সেবা লজে নবা সে ইজি নবা সেবা ট্রু মারবে ট্রু দোয়া ট্রু খুঁজলে সেঞ্জু না না কিন্তু ছোয়া দুশে সেম্বা ইলা সেবা রেবা ওতে ছোয়া দুশে ছোয়া সদা নিউ সাদ মারবে হে বিলিং সাদ রেবে ছোয়া দুশে যে দুশে তান দুশে ছোয়া দুশে সেম্বা সাদে তান্ত ওতে সেন্দে বনা মেঘে নবা সেবা জু থার মেঘে নবা সেবা জু থারে মেঘে নবা সেবা জুল জুগারে মেঘে নবা সেবা জুল জুবি নিবা শিলে মেঘে নবা সেবে ছোবা দেবে সেম্বা দিলে ইউর সেম্বা থেকে সেম্বা থেকে নিবা দেনে মেসে তো জুল জুগারে মেসে তো ছোবা দেবে সেম্বা থেকে নিবা দেনে মেসে জুল জুগারে জুল জুবা সেবে শিলে চেঞ্জে সেজন সবাই কুইন্টি ছোঁতে মারবে মেঘ নবা সেবা জুল জু থার জুল জুগর মেঘ নবা সেবা জুল জুবাতে ছোয়ান দুশে সেম্বা সেম্বাতে ও সেম্বাতে জুয়ারে মেঘ না সে জুল জু থুই জুল জুবি জু থুই জুল থুই নেবাতে ওতে সেম্বাতে জুয়ারে সেম্বা ওতে লেজ তেজারে
When we look at this quote again, we see karma, that is intention, is the major heading. And it's from Asanga's compendium of knowledge. When we look at Asanga's collections of works, we have the two compendiums. So we have the compendium of trainings and compendium of knowledge. And then we have the five treatises on the levels. So this falls categorically into the two compendiums, because it's one among those two. And it says, what is intention? It is mental karma that involves the mind. It acts to engage the mind in virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral activities. So when we look at consciousness itself, we can divide consciousness into six different categories: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, tactile consciousness, and mental consciousness. So when we have these five consciousness present, there are what is called these five omnipresent mental factors that are always present as well. Those are feeling, discrimination, intention, contact, and mental engagement. So when we hear, we look at this, what is intention? It falls among the category which is an actual mental factor of intention, which is actually an omnipresent mental factor. So when we start to look at what those are, feeling is, when we look at an omnipresent mental factor of feeling, it's actually what it sounds like, the actual feeling of something that is experienced by an eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, tactile consciousness, mental consciousness. So the feeling itself. Discrimination is the ability to discriminate between this is a god, this is a human, to be able to see the difference between what things are. So this is what discrimination is. And intention, which is the third among the five omnipresent mental factors, is what pushes the consciousness to apprehend. So for instance, when the eye consciousness is to apprehend a form, there is first this mental factor, the omnipresent mental factor of intention, that has to first have an intention to see a form. Then the eye consciousness itself reacts and comprehends the form itself. So the intention itself serves as the motivator, the companion to the consciousness, and which allows it to observe its object. So the intention pushes the consciousness towards its intended object, what one intends to apprehend. So that's what the meaning of intention is.
What does Nipa Samba Dikuna Lunagletis Nisambile Sambile said the Ludangagleti Jagures Aim Conquerors Nanzule Abdamakos Anzule Lene and Lene Semba Tante She, Semba Yiji Lay in the Deji Ludong Achilles, Semba the Yiji Lays, and then De Jibi Samba She Led Lungag Lilijagures, She Sumbata Rosa. And then Lungag Lila, Riji Naji, my mini Sushine, Zujin Kuna, Shiram Hama, Dubalas. The Lunga Lila Rigid Regime, Zuzin Conares, Lunga Lena Zuim Chow, Zuzin Conares, Shedam, Duba, Sansamba, Umaba, Jiganon, Shedamai Lagundus, Zuzin Conan, Zuzin Conan Duba, Shedamai Dogu Ares, Marbe, and Lunga Lila Zuzin Conan Yba, Shedamanta, Umantajo Marbe. Mwanshe mezo du tanju jangas, ne lunga leg ngodila, ne zu yinba de shiramaan du gres. Tanju jangas, oma tanju jang wate zu yinla gres. Wate katu wate yinba re.
So we get to the next category, which is karma that is intended action. And karma that is intended action are the two categories of our physical actions. So the actions of the body and actions of the speech. And here we'll find a quote from the Treasury of Knowledge written by Master Basubandhu. And it says, Lama Tsongkhapa says, this is physical and verbal action motivated by intention. The Treasury of Knowledge, and this is again by Basubandhu, Abhidharma Kosha. Karma is both intention and what intention produces. Intention is mental karma, and what it produces are physical and verbal karma. So then it says, the Vibhashikas divide physical and verbal karma into two types, the perceptible and the imperceptible, and hold both types always have form. So here, this is one of the Indian tenet systems. So if we divide the tenet systems up, we'll find there are four. The Vibhashika system, which is translated as the Great Exposition School, the Satrantika system, which is translated as the Sutra School, Chittamantran system, translated as the Mind-Only School, and the Manyamaka system translated as the middle way school. So here we're referring to the Vibhashika, the great exposition school, and they say if it is a karma itself, if it is a physical or a verbal karma, whether it is perceptible or imperceptible, it is necessarily form. So and this is a view that is also held by the Madhyamika Prasangika view, which is the middle way consequence school, the highest of among the tenet systems, where they say that that it is necessarily physical and verbal karma are necessarily form. And there's a quote that states, "Who is it? Who asserts that the physical and verbal karmas are form? The great expositions do, as well as the Madhyamika Prasangikas, or the middle way consequentialists." So here we see the same view held by the lowest school, and then that highest consequence school view.
Zujin Kuna Shida Mayan Duba Duba Las, Human Inish Karnes, Ta Lungaji Little Rigid Regime, I mean, Isena, Luigi Little Rigid Regime, I mean, you are this, Marbe, Luigi Little Rigid Karasanangasu, Lunda Lansuna Lansa, Shulu Duma Bacha Marbe, Contro the Sheba Remig Duma Ruta, Duma Bacha. Control number then do mabuchava de number jigsur is number jigsut rigitimbare. Ta do mabu ship color vete. Do mabu de vate. Telatene. Colon labat corungro. Lun labat rigro. Corresheva rigsus. Ta regime my imbezosana and a me matua ta and then sutag do what to marve. Sutag do what to do. So
Here again, it says the Vibhashikas divide physical and verbal karma into two types, the perceptible and the imperceptible, and hold that both types always have form. So now it says Vasubandhu refutes this, asserting that physical and verbal actions are intentions that work along with those things. So we'll get into that. So what it's saying is that Vasubandhu actually negates this point. And so the Vibhashikas believe that if it is perceptible or imperceptible, physical or verbal karma, then it is necessarily, it has form, that it is form. So what is meant by perceptible and imperceptible? So an imperceptible form, karma that has form, I'm sorry, a perceptible karma that has form would be, for instance, when somebody becomes angry and the face becomes very red because of anger. There's an actual perceptible thing taking place that is form, that is a karma that is form taking place. But there's the other example of something that is imperceptible is, for instance, somebody who's holding an individual liberation vow. So a vow holder is holding that vow, which is a form, but it's an imperceptible form because you can't see the actual vow that's inside that person, but it is a form that's imperceptible in there. So that's what is meant by the Vibhashika's view of that, which is also held by the Madhyamika Prasangika school. But Vasubandhu then will refute this idea. Deekson. When we look, we go back to this compendium of knowledge where it's written by Master Asanga. It says, what is intention? It is the mental karma that involves the mind. It also engages the mind in virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral activities. So here it's stating that this actual mental karma with this intention is a mental factor. And what view would we say among the four tenet systems, Vibhashika, Satrantika, Chittamantran, or Madhyamika, and then at the Madhyamika having two categories, the highest being the Prasangika, the consequence school, what view would we say Master Asanga holds? And we would state that Master Asanga was the view holder of the middleway consequence view, the highest view. And then if you were to say, why is that? The answer is because Master Asanga is a being on the third ground, on the third bodhisattva ground. So because Asanga was on this third ground, it shows that he's necessarily a holder of that middle way consequence view. Because translators know it's necessary to get to that third ground. To hold that, you have to have that view to get there. And because he was on that third ground, it proves that he held that view.
Mm-hmm. lume papa tome gomba mares lume papa tome jena umatanju ore lunga le la zoje im chaus ores umatanju ores lume papa tome sun gomba ina lume papa tome gomba im chau mares sanji sun gomba ina sanji gomba im chau chau mares sanji sun gomba dram da bamba yoro
aza
da yoba sun yoro me ba sun yoro aza da yoba de sanji sun gomba ro Sanji Sungoro, Sung Sungoro, and Sanji Gumbo Maris. What is the locus of Maribe?
Less so. When we look at Master Asanga, and we say that Master Asanga, who states that has to state that the actions of the body and the speech, the karma of the body and the speech, necessarily, whether they're perceptible or imperceptible, have form or are form. Because we know that because he's a third ground bodhisattva, he is a holder of the middle way consequence view. Now, when we look at his body of work, we would look at the writings. We have the five treatises on the levels, and we have the two compendiums. And within those texts, there are many presentations of the other tenet systems. But that doesn't mean that because he wrote about those tenet systems and opened them or clarified them, that he was the holder of those views. He merely clarified them and wrote about them, just as Buddha gave many, many different presentations that seemed different. He would say at times that there was no self, and then to those others who needed to hear a different explanation, he would state that there was a self. So these presentations were given for the purpose of clarifying these needed scopes, individual scopes, or different individual scopes.
What does Sanji Shinju do? What does Hansan Badan Oma Biku to Sukasibu Jerota? Sanji Kunyangal and Jibu Jenavijil Tene, Oma Badan, Hansan Badan Yandimurta. And then Sanji Kunyangal and Rojaja to so Gobulu do Pene, Oma Shinta Swinjabres, Lugoja to Supreme Papa Tome Pene, Hansan Shinta Swinjabres.
The Lugoja.
Sanji Shijo Tilti Oma Bada Sazam with Nancy to Sibu Jero,
Lesser,
Ten Yasmuro,
Yamaro,
Lesser, Ten Lung Lojaja to Sumobulu Pene, and then Oma Pishinta Swinjiba Mariba Logoja to Sule, Lubin Papa to Pene, Sazam Pishinti Swinjibas, Sazam Nancy to Sibu Zong.
So when we look at the two different higher tenet systems that we would say would pertain to the great vehicle system, during the time of Lord Buddha, we had all of these systems very prevalent. We had the Madhyamika system, or the middle way system, and we had the Chittamantra system, or the mind-only school system, presented clearly. But after the Buddha passed into Nirvana, there was really a decline of the holders or the understanders of these views, of these higher views, of the mind-only school in the middle way school. And it wasn't until 400 years after the Buddha passed into Nirvana that Master Nagarjuna came and opened the chariot way of the middle way system of view, or the Madhyamika system of view. And it wasn't until 900 years after Buddha passed in to Nirvana that then Master Asanga came and became the opener of the chariot way of the mind-only school view, and really clarified these views and brought them back into our world systems. Because before they came, but there was a period of time between when they were here and when Buddha had passed into Nirvana that they were very much declined and not clear and present in our world.
What the Gobulu got the Nalenta de Valo, what the Chuson de Dulu, Tanolu, Lubo, Panyon, what is Mariba, Lubanyon, then when you cock out the Mara, cock out dinner, Gobulu, that's when you cock on Karimbas. 안에 군이 많이 로레스 칼도요 말 너그레스 어디 카코고요 안 주니 소니 요들 때는 루인 당크 좋았어 뒤 가는 너무 지 괜찮으면로
맞아
안 어디 루이 번이도 마 루일 친을 루 잡을 주여지로다 안 루이 잡게 소면 루일 페루시스 안은 너 가리네 부족레스 어디 Shishindo to the Gala and that Shishindo Bondi Nietzsche Jedon to the Louis.
That's
so. What then what the Seven Little Louis Pin and Bondi at Jedon to the Danish Rose Amarbe. Yakin the Tene Omata Omar Suto to the Chiba in Jeruta.
That's so. So at this time of the decline of the middle way view, Master Nagarjuna came into our world system, and the way that these teachings were brought back was that Nagarjuna was a master already and was giving a teaching to a large audience of participants, and he noticed that there were two children that were attending the teaching that he was giving, and he noticed that both of the children were covering their mouths. And he went to them after the teaching and said, "Why are you covering your mouths?" And they said, "We're actually disguised as children, but we're actually Nagas. That's best translation. Nagas, the spirit snake, sometimes it's translated as. But we are actually Nagas, and our breath is poisonous to human beings, and that's why we're covering our mouths." And Nagarjuna said, "Well, come back tomorrow in your normal form and bring me one of the these wonderful crowns I've heard of, these jeweled crowns from the Naga realm." So the Nagas went back to the Naga realm, and the king of the Nagas said, "You can give Nagarjuna anything he wants, but please invite him back here." And at that point in time, in the world, the Perfection of Wisdom teachings, the 100,000 verse Perfection of Wisdom teachings, the 20,000 verse Perfection of Wisdom teachings, and the 8,000 verse Perfection of Wisdom teachings were no longer in our world system. They were in the Naga realms, and they were lost there. And so when Nagarjuna went to meet the king, he was able to retrieve the 100,000 verse, the 20,000 verse, and the 8,000 verse Perfection of Wisdom sutras and bring them back into a world system and then thus bring back the middle way view.
That's
it. So then there was a small amount of greed or miserliness that the Nagas still had, and there was some omission of some sort there was some actual more that they of these Perfection of Wisdom teachings that they held back. But Nagarjuna was able to bring the 100,000 verse, the 20,000 verse, and the 8,000 verse Perfection of Wisdom Sutra back into the world system, and then write Nagarjuna wrote the root wisdom text and the six collections of wisdom, the six fundamental treatises he wrote on this topic. And then the story of Maitreya, the story with Master Asanga, is that Master Asanga went into a meditation retreat for 12 years where he was trying through that entire period of time to meet with Lord Maitreya. And at the end of the 12-year period of time of this meditation, he actually met with Lord Maitreya. And Lord Maitreya brought him up to Ganden, into the heavenly realm of Ganden. It only was an actual evening in the Ganden God's realm which would have been equal to 50 human years. And during that period of time, Lord Maitreya passed on the treatises to Master Asanga for him to be able to bring back into our world system. So then, as a result of that, then Master Asanga wrote various works and commentaries on those. So then we have the works of Asanga, which are the five treatises on the levels and the two compendiums, and then we have the works of Maitreya, the five works. I'm trying to find the name of them right now. The collection of the five texts of Maitreya. So these came back into our world system because of the experience that Master Asanga had. When we look at, so Master Asanga went to Ganden, brought back the five treatises of Maitreya's doctrines, so that's correct, the five treatises of the doctrines, and then wrote the five treatises on the levels and the two compendiums. And most of the information that was written was about the mind only school. So when we look at the most of the work that Asanga wrote about, we'd say that it's usually been writings that are about that mind only school. But we do find this other text, where he is has the commentary on the middle way consequence view, the Uttara Tantra, where we find that Asanga is giving a presentation of the middle way consequence view, sublime continuum is what it's called in English, Uttara Tantra.
What the Jhulama the Lama Baba Tome Oma Tantra Naji.
So because we find that Master Asanga has written about this highest view, which is the final view, and he's explained it, we have another reason to state he's the holder. When we say, what is his real view? What is he the holder of? We state he's the holder of the middle way consequence view, because he wrote about it and clarified it. So he's a holder of those views.
Semba
So here again, this is so karma that is intended action. This is physical and verbal action motivated by intention. So the Treasury of Knowledge states, karma is both intention and what intention produces. Intention is mental karma. What it produces are physical and verbal karma. The Vaibhashikas divide physical and verbal karma into two types, the perceptible and the imperceptible, and hold that both types always have form. So now it says Basubandhu refutes this. So Basubandhu is a holder of the Sautrantika view, the Sutra school view, and it says, asserting that physical and verbal karma intentions that work along with perceptible physical and verbal behavior, thus both forms of karma, intention and intended, are actually intention. So Vasubandhu is negating this and saying that if it is a physical or a verbal karma, it is necessarily a mental factor. And what mental factor is the mental factor of intention. So it isn't a form, it's a mental factor. So as a note, as a translator, these things are mutually exclusive. So this is these two things contradict each other in such a way. So where it says refutes this, this view completely contradicts the previous view, because form and mental factor have no common locus. They're mutually exclusive. So here Basubandhu states that they are all actually intentions. So when we look at omnipresent mental factors, and we have this feeling, discrimination, and intention, and so forth, it's that intention that Basubandhu states, according to the Sautrantika school, is the verbal and physical karma. So therefore, it's a mental factor. So that's what this means here. Okay, so we'll take a short break.
What the news is?
Okay. Then
Nature.
So when we divide, so here It says then, Vasubandhu refutes this, asserting that physical and verbal karma are intentions that work along with perceptible physical and verbal behavior. Thus, forms of karma, intention intended, are actually intentions. So Vasubandhu says if it is a physical or a verbal karma that is either perceptible or imperceptible, it is necessarily a mental factor because it's an intention. So that's the assertion here. And it says, in general, karma is of three types, virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral. But we are concerned only with the first two. So when we divide the so when we look at objects of comprehension, we can divide them into three categories: virtue, non-virtue, and ethically neutral. When we look at virtue, there's three different types of virtue. We could have a virtue of motivation, accompanying virtue, and a natural, or the virtue of the nature of reality, the virtue of the nature. So motivational virtue is like having a motivation to do something virtuous, and that's virtue. So having the motivation to do a prostration or to pay homage or to make an offering. So this is a motivational virtue. Accompanying virtue is the accompanying mental factors that are present. So when we look at the omnipresent mental factors, we have feeling, discrimination, and intention, and contact, etc., and so forth. That is an accompanying virtue. So the mental factors, if there is a virtuous action, there's an accompanying virtuous omnipresent mental factor. So that's the accompanying virtue. And then the last is the natural virtue. And the ngō ni gewa mayin
is not...
Virtue of the nature, and again, that means the nature of reality, actually isn't virtue. It's just named virtue, but it's not virtue because it's permanent. So when we classify things, as a translator's note, into impermanent and permanent phenomena, it falls into permanent phenomena, whereas virtue itself is impermanent. So that's why we say it's not virtue. This nature of reality, virtue, isn't virtue because it's permanent. It's just named that. Then the ngoni magewa yomare.
Ngoni ji magu pechi jak de jaba ina kwa de jaba ina ne jaba lu de ne jaba. Ab da ma ko ja o de ne jaba lu de ne jaba.
The yere. So, and then when we look at non-virtue, we have the same. We have motivational non-virtue. We have this accompanying non-virtue. And then we have this, I asked Rinpoche, is there this nature of reality, non-virtue? And Rinpoche said, yes, he does find that it's been presented by, in the Abhidharma text, that there is this fourth category. So the accompanying non-virtue would be the accompanying mental factors, the feelings and intentions and so forth that are present and are non-virtuous as well. So these non-virtuous accompaniers to the non-virtue.
So the
Okay, so we find in the Abhidharma it says that tarpa, liberation, is the ultimate virtue. The word we use for ultimate truth, the ultimate truth virtue. Dundambi gewa yin.
Tarpa dambi gewa. Tada dandi sunenchis. Gewa dun sunba dambi yin.
Okay, so then the accompanying things are called accompanying, the accompanying omnipresent mental factors are called the accompanying virtues. So that's what it is said there.
And then
those things that we do with our body and with our speech come from our motivational virtue or our motivational non-virtue. So this is what it says here, that the liberation is the ultimate virtue. The accompanying virtue are the omnipresent mental factors that are always present, and the motivational virtue is what makes us act virtuously or non-virtuously through our body and through our speech.
What does this go do? What is it? Chilela, give me a little more time, so you chance. He let them, Maggie let them. Lomag, then, so you chance. Then Tamani was Nemegi let on Gilin in sushi grace.
Wes
up. Tamani was
Wes up.
Gilela Saji Samenilis Gilela Saji the Samegleni orders. Nile the Saji don Telayan Saji Laya Papi Jula Yobatan Suju Jula Yobanile. The Shema was, so you know, you be such a little to see it is. What is on the way?
So it says, in general, karma is of three types: virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral. But here we are concerned only with the first two. So we're only concerned with virtuous and non-virtuous karma. It says, virtuous karma is of two types: contaminated and uncontaminated. I will only discuss contaminated virtuous karma, of which there are two types, that present in a noble being's mind and that present in an ordinary person's mind. Only the latter need concern us here. So only that present in an ordinary being's mind is what we're going to address, or what we'll be concerned with. When we look at this word contaminated and uncontaminated, when we look at what is uncontaminated, when we look at the Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge, we find that that Sanskrit mantra, Teata Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasangati Bodhisoha. The first gate is path of accumulation. Second gate is the path of preparation. Paragate is the path of seeing, Parasangati is the path of meditation, and Bodhisoha is the path of no more learning. So it's the direct perception of emptiness at the path of seeing, the direct perception of emptiness at the path of meditation, and the direct perception of emptiness at the path of no more learning, that is the uncontaminated wisdom. So it says the uncontaminated virtuous karma, just by way, as a note, it has to be in a superior's mind, because it's at the superior level. The path of seeing is where one becomes a superior. So this is the uncontaminated karma in a superior's mind. So the direct perception of emptiness at the path of seeing, meditation, and no more learning.
Gile the Magile need shares. Gile la Saji Samenile,
So here again, it says that there's three types of karma: virtuous, non-virtuous, and ethically neutral. But we're only concerned with the first two. So we're only going to go over virtuous and non-virtuous karma. Virtuous karma is of two types, contaminated and uncontaminated. I will only discuss contaminated virtuous karma, of which there are two types. So those that are present in a superior or a noble being's mind, and that present in an ordinary being's mind. So here, this translation of noble being, that means Arya, superior being. And then ordinary being is anyone who's not an Arya. Anyone who isn't at least the path of seeing or higher is an ordinary being. So that's everyone else. So we're going to talk about the karmas of virtue and non-virtue in an ordinary person's mind. Because it says only the latter need concern us here. Okay, so we have what is called the four doors, or the four entrances, or the four doors of contamination. And there are four categories that are there. There are the afflictions, and if they are the afflictions, they are necessarily contaminated. They are the obstructions to omniscience, which are necessarily contaminated. They are the contaminated cyclic existence, so it's the samsara, cyclic existence, which is contaminated, and then conceptuality. So conceptuality is necessarily contaminated. So this is what the four doors of contamination are: the afflictions, the obstructions to omniscience, samsara, cyclic existence, and conceptuality. And then Rinpoche defined conceptuality. And it's a knower that apprehends a sound generality and a meaning generality is suitable to be mixed, is the definition of a conceptual consciousness. The dopi sheba tseni lapson, the dopi tseni lapson.
Tuba yina sajim chaos, tubi sajim chaos. Ram dadun de unzi shere tubi tseni marva, tuba. Anangasu minshe zul de na an zul sebu tongzo. Mi matun de santana. So sebe thongmu do tuba marvete, wadil tuba laudrota, tuba. Anu denzin ta nyamu ka tuba imchano grota.
So when we look at the grasping at truest app, denzin da, denzin da.
Denzin ina tuba imchano ma tu tumi sheval denzin yemarwa.
So when we look at the grasping at true establishment, we would say that that is necessarily conceptuality, because they're at the there is never a non-conceptual grasping at true establishment. It is always necessarily conceptuality, conceptual thing. Whereas when we look at, just as a note, Rinpoche was trying to explain, I was trying to figure out what the which word, because it sounds like four different words, and it's within the definition of a direct perceiver. And a definition of a direct perception is that it's free from conceptuality. So there, when someone's directly perceiving emptiness, there's no conceptuality there, because that's in the definition of direct perception, that it's this knower that's free from conceptuality. So when we look at compound phenomenon or compounds, we would say that we're looking for one what is not contaminated. We would say that the path of the uncontaminated path of seeing, meditation, and no more learning would be those. And then if we were to say what also is necessarily uncontaminated, we would say liberation or nirvana is necessarily not contaminated. So just real quickly, the definition of direct perception is a new, incontrovertible, non-mistaken knower that's free from conceptuality. So that's what is meant by this conceptuality. And there is this non-conceptuality at those paths, non-contaminated paths of seeing, meditation, and no more learning. So in the perfection of wisdom teachings, we have contaminated, and that is that which is not contaminated.
So
when we look at what the that which is contaminated, we look at those four entrances to contamination, or four doors of contamination, of the afflictions, the obstructions to omniscience, cyclic existence, and conceptuality. So if it is any among the four, the afflictions, the obstructions to omniscience, the cyclic existence or conceptuality, it is necessarily contamination or contaminated. So those things that are apprehended, within cyclic existence by an afflicted, someone afflicted, are those things that are contaminated. So Rinpoche is saying when the eye consciousness apprehends a form, this is a contaminated phenomenon because the apprehender is afflicted. So it's necessarily distorted, and the that which accompanies it, so these five omnipresent things are contaminated as well. Because there's it's afflicted, so it's necessarily contaminated. So when we look at Buddha and we look at the Buddha's omniscience, this is non-contaminated, not contaminated. But the Buddha is omniscient, so the Buddha is able to cognize contaminated phenomena because the Buddha cognizes all phenomena. But can we say the Buddha sees contamination? We have to say no. So the Buddha can apprehend and know it's contaminated, but the Buddha doesn't see contamination, like isn't experiencing because it's not afflicted. The Buddha is omniscient, doesn't have the basis for seeing contamination or the seeing being contaminated. I hope I'm making this clear enough. It's a subtle subject, but this is always the question. If Buddha can see everything, then the Buddha has to see awful things, and the Buddha then must suffer. But that's not true. The Buddha sees all things, but the Buddha doesn't see it contaminated. The Buddha just knows that phenomena is contaminated, but doesn't see contaminated.
So in the
Perfection of Wisdom teachings, we find those things that are among those four, the afflictions, the obstructions to omniscience, the cyclic existence, and the conceptuality, are necessarily contaminated. Anything that falls outside of those, we could consider non-contaminated. So if it isn't among those four, it's a phenomena that wouldn't be among those four, then we can say that that's a phenomena that is not contaminated. So this is something that there's a large amount of debate about in the debate courtyards in the monastery. They debate over and over what is contaminated, what is not contaminated. So this is a big topic. So then they establish this is contaminated, this isn't contaminated. So it's a very, very big debate. You hear it being one of the main debates going on in the debate courtyard. So if the object of observation and the accompanier is contaminated, then it's contaminated. If the object of observation and the accompanier are uncontaminated, then it's not contaminated. And that's what it says in the Abhidhamma. So virtuous karma is of two types, contaminated and uncontaminated. So I only discuss virtuous karma, of which there are two types. I will only discuss contaminated virtuous karma, which there are two types, that present in a noble being's mind and that present in an ordinary person's mind. Only the latter need concern us here. So we're speaking only about the ordinary person's mind, not that in a noble being's mind. As a note, an aria isn't always in non-conceptual direct perception. So that's why there could be that, and that, just as a note, what that is. So we're only dealing with the ordinary person's mind. It says non-virtuous karma is karma that is non-meritorious. So non-virtues, we spoke of this before, the 10 non-virtues, the 3 non-virtues of the body, killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, the 4 non-virtues of the speech, lying, divisive speech, harsh words, and gossip, and the 3 non-virtues of the mind, harmful intent, covetousness, and wrong view. So this is what is meant by non-meritorious action or non-virtuous karma. Meritorious, meritorious karma is virtuous karma in the minds of beings of the desire realm. Invariable karma, or immutable karma, it's called a lot, is contaminated virtuous karma in the minds of beings of the form or formless realms. And then we say, similarly, the treasury of knowledge, Abhidharma says, So when we divide karma, we can divide it into 3 categories. Meritorious karma, non-meritorious karma, and invariable karma, or immutable karma. Meritorious karma and non-meritorious karma are those karmas that are meritorious or non-meritorious that are created by the beings in the humans and any beings who are in the desire realm of cyclic existence. Immutable or invariable karma is karma that is created by those beings in the form or formless realms. Who said it? We have another quote from the
Abhidharma Code.
So then we have this quote from the Abhidharma that says, merit is the virtuous karma of the desire realm. Invariable karma produces the higher deities' realms. This is the where we find that quoted. So non-meritorious karma is karma that throws one into the lower realms of cyclic existence. Meritorious karma is a propelling karma that throws one into the higher realms of cyclic existence within the desire realm. And immutable or invariable karma is karma which propels one into the higher realms of the form and formless realm.
So
then why is this called immutable or invariable karma? So why would then the meritorious and non-meritorious karma of the desire realm be called variable karma? So it is because why is it called invariable karma? In the desire realm, karma that should bear fruit while you are a deity may instead bear fruit while you are a human, an animal, or a hungry ghost. Thus its effect is variable. But in the higher deities' realms, karma that should bear fruit at a certain level does not mature at other levels than that. Thus it is invariable. So it only matures at those form and formless realm levels. It doesn't mature at all of these kind of varying levels like the variable karma does.
What
So that propelling karma, which is a immutable or a variable karma of the form and formless realms, will only propel one into the form or formless realms. It has to, there isn't a variation. So then, why is that? So the treasury of knowledge says why? Because the fruition of karma on these levels is not variable. So the karma created, this invariable karma created at this level, when it's there, it only creates or propels one into that same level. It doesn't, there's not a varieties of experience like there is with the other. So then again, the Abhidharma Kosha, the treasury of knowledge, kind of gives a proof. So why? Because the fruition these levels is not variable. So at the level of the form and formless realm, the karma that's created, the throwing karma, the projecting karma, is only projecting to the form and formless realm. It doesn't project to the other realms. Therefore, it's invariable. There's not a potential for it to change or have these varieties of fruitions like variable karma does. Ditsa?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we'll end there. And
can I ask a question?
Sure.
Why I'm having a difficulty following what's happening is that I'm not sure what form and formless realms refer to, and
okay,
what's the other alternative?
Okay. It's the Buddhist cosmology. The Zudan Zumekam Gardondagare.
Zudan Zumekam is what this is, the Tanga Zun do a concert.
Less so.
And then I saw the Nazon Zunta, Matan de Villa.
When we look at reality, if we look at cyclic existence, it's divided into three categories: the desire realm, the form realm, and the formless realm. So the desire realm is the realm that we're in, and also the realm of the hell realm, the hungry ghosts, the animal realm, the demigods and gods realms of the desire realm. The form and formless realms are for those beings who have transcended the desire realm. They've found this fault in the desire realm and have, through some type of concentration, transcended this desire realm through single-pointed concentration and meditation, concentration levels, and are actually abiding in a form realm level, which is a concentration or a formless realm. These are realms are created by this kind of single-pointed concentration, this kind of meditation, and that's why That type of virtue only creates that kind of result, the form and formless realm result.
Except the concentration remains that the...
But there's not a body in the formless realm. And in a form realm, it's a body, but it's in single-pointed concentration.
Gotcha.
Not here anymore in this desire realm.
Gotcha.
It's a realm that is transcend, that being has transcended this desire realm by their meditation and concentration, and is no longer here with us in that sense. They're somewhere else. So let's do the concluding. Sure.
I'm wondering on debate, if you debate. Conceptually, then it's decaminated.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And if you debate, so what is the debate? Direct perception. Do you debate through direct perception? But if you debate through
signs and reasoning, inference.
Yeah,
you need conceptual. Rinpoche, the drapa dasi dangdu, yine nando gu, yine this sacheyin. The dasidang churala, the dasidang du, and dasidang dana the number dopa gu nandoku, then day and sunsang, the ngusum, the jetudu jepag, the sache same.
That sache same is no tang asun jiden then the kaso the zure silona, zure logro. Karajin zures in the Kisha Shigarota.
Tasa
don't turn over the top.
Lesser.
And the Kadu zures.
Lesser.
And the Karajin zures in the Kisha Shigarota.
Lesser.
Tunaji, Kadu zu in the zoo in Jusenkaras.
Lesser.
And the in the name Charles of Söder.
Yene con this Nando yen. Dain Sunsan Sache yen.
Tasa don't tell Sachi the Samini Jirota. Sanji to Suga Suba Suba Yorota.
Aha.
What to Suga Sachi?
So we have two, we can have contaminated and uncontaminated debate. So when we look at debate, the point of using debate is to answer questions and clarify points about things. So we would say that a color is form. Why is a color form? What is the meaning of form? How many divisions of form are there? How many divisions of color are there? And this would frame a debate. So they're really getting at the knowledge, or getting to the point of the knowledge by debate. But there is non-contaminated debate. So I said that there's, you know, using conceptuality at that point in debate. So is it contaminated? And he said there's non-contaminated and contaminated debate, because you have Buddha whose debates, and that's uncontaminated debate, because there's no contamination possible. But there is contaminated debate as well. So you're using signs and reasoning. And then the Ngutsun Sema, Jepag Sema. So we have to think also, though, is the reason for debate is because the Buddha has presented us with this information, and we have doubts about it and have to try to learn it and believe it. The information that we are trying to understand is not contaminated, because it's the Buddha's speech. So it's the information itself is not contaminated, because it's the Buddha's speech, but because we have afflictions and we have conceptuality, we are necessarily bringing forth contamination. That makes sense?
Yeah, okay.
Concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I've collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri, and likewise Samantabhadra as well. with whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All-powerful Avalokiteshvara Tenzin Gyatso, may you stay until samsara's end. Pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wondok, holder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tuji Rinpoche Gutsi Shapi Denrulam. Asu Lamrim Chemo Kanga Tri Ronam.